MacCast, Monday, February 11th, 2013. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to the MacCast. Got a big show for you today because we are following up on last week's episode. I gave you my audio from the show floor of Macworld. We did a live show at Macworld iWorld 2013. I hope you enjoyed that. This week, we are going to jump out onto the show floor because I have the interviews that I gathered as I was walking around the show for the 3 days, 4 days that I was there, gathering up interviews. Every year, I go to the show and I try and bring you along with me. I try and find cool products. We run into old friends. I find unique stuff that I hadn't heard about, some stuff that I've seen before, and we get a little more details on the products and the going-ons at Macworld iWorld. So we're going to dive right into that in just a moment. But before we get into it, I do want to take a quick second and thank one of our show sponsors, and that's ShareFile by Citrix. You know, these days with so many of us working in different locations or just when you're in an office, you might be traveling. Being able to communicate effectively is critical. It's critical to getting things done. And a big part of that is the ability to collaborate and share documents. And a way that a lot of people usually do that is by sending emails. But depending upon the size of the files you need to send back and forth, email is not always the best way to go about sharing documents. Often they're too big, you get bounced back emails. People don't receive the documents that they need, and it ends up being this sort of big waste of time and energy. And so you need a better way to be able to share your documents. You also, though, need a way to be able to share those documents securely and kind of to be able to know where they are and who has copies and track things. And ShareFile recognized that these were some challenges that we have with the current solutions that are out there. So there are cloud-based solutions, but they really wanted to focus on something that was targeted at the business customer. So ShareFile, what it allows you to do is easily share documents with anyone and allows you to do that in a way where it's going to be secure. You can track those documents. You can see what's happening with them. You can get notifications when documents are received or downloaded and opened, so you know who's opening them. You can control who has access to those documents using tools like password protection. And you can even work with those files. You can sign them, you can edit the files, and all of this goes to help really with collaboration. And with ShareFile, you can access those files from anywhere. You can do it from a laptop, you can do it from a tablet, you can do it from your smartphone, and you can get in there. And one of the things I really like about ShareFile versus other solutions is its business focus. So you can get in there. There's tools where you can brand the experience. You can put your logo on there. So you're not just sending someone to a generic third-party service. You have a branded experience, a custom URL through ShareFile, and you can do things like share documents without having to have someone sign up for an account. So they have widgets that you can put on your website. If you need someone to send you a file, you can send them a link, you can send them to your website, they can upload a document, and it will show up right in your share file on your desktop once they've uploaded it. Plus, you can get that notification. You know that the file is there, ready and waiting. You're not wasting time. You can get in there and grab it. It is a really unique service and something that I think you really should try out. And I have a special offer for you so that you can do that. You can try ShareFile completely free. You can sign up for a 30-day free trial today. There's no credit card required, so you really have nothing to lose. Just go to ShareFile.com. Type in my promo code MACCAST and you'll be up and running. You can take a look at it. And I think you're going to be impressed by what you see. It's a truly unique service. And a big thank you to Citrix and ShareFile for their support of the MACCAST. And with that, let's not waste any more time. Let's get out there on the show floor of Macworld iWorld 2013. So traveling back in time about a week or so ago, but we get to check out some really cool stuff, so I hope you like it.
So I'm here at Macworld with Andrew Green, creative director and co-founder of 12 South. And for those of you who haven't seen their products, they make awesome accessories and products for your devices and your Macs. You can find them in the Apple stores. But Andrew, I wanted to start out for a little bit for people who aren't familiar with 12 South. Can you talk a little bit about how the company got started? You guys have been around for how long now?
Hey, Adam. Nice to see you, man. 12 South has been around for about 3 years. We actually started in 2009 by showing a couple people at Macworld a couple ideas, and it's just taken off from there. Our first products were released in August of 2009, so that makes us about 40, 41 months old. We're still counting it in months now.
That's amazing. And what were those first products, and sort of what was the genesis of start? I mean, how do you decide, hey, we're going to start a company and we're going to make accessories for the Mac?
Well, I co-founded it with my wife, Leanne, and she comes from a background in fashion, merchandising, and retail. I come from a background a little closer to the existing space, Griffin Technology. I was VP of marketing, and then I went to DLO. And so after kind of those experiences, what was really left was to kind of like, you know, put up the tent ourselves and try it. What we saw that really needed to be done was a company that made accessories worthy of the Mac. There was a lot of companies making just umpteen million cases for the iPod and then the iPhone. And even the cool companies that used to do great stuff for Mac really kind of chased the iPod ecosystem up the tree and kind of left the Mac behind. What killed us was to see a person get into the Apple, you know, ecosphere with an iPod or an iPhone that's $200, and then like their next laptop, they buy a MacBook, and they turn to the accessories available for a MacBook and see just Me Too PC products painted white. And so we were like, you know, forget that. We really want to make accessories worthy of the Mac, and in some small way, kind of help elevate the whole platform with great accessories that are Mac only, and that's what we've done.
Right. I think you've really pulled that off very, very well, and that was one of the things when the products first started hitting the market that I think really struck a chord with a lot of Mac users and fans was that attention to detail, but the really innovative way you seem to approach products. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, where does that, I'm assuming that comes from, you know, a little bit of your wife and a little bit of yourself as well?
Well, you know, we really, really honestly make products that we want first. And we're passionate Mac users, and our whole small team are passionate Mac users. So it's really, you know, making stuff that we have a desire to do as well. And the other thing is a commitment to not do any Me Too products, to find the holes, to find the places to innovate. For example, our book arc was one of the first products that we did. And it came from the fact that when I use my MacBook at the desk, at the office, at home, I usually connect it to a large external display, keyboard and mouse, kind of use a desktop setup with the MacBook. And initially, you know, I use dual screens like a lot do, but when the cinema display screens got so big, so beautiful, I just started hooking it up closed and laying it around. So that kind of like, you know, was the idea for the book arc, to hold the MacBook right next to the big cinema display like a little micro tower. So that we really kind of came up with that idea out of necessity. But what's really cool about that accessory that really still continues today and is you know, a foundation product for us, is that it's a great accessory in that it often teaches a MacBook owner something about their machine they didn't know. There's loads of people still that really are not aware that they can use their MacBook closed. And so when they come across a book arc, often it teaches them that entire concept. So that's really cool when an accessory can bring out something in a person's machine that they didn't even know it could do. And honestly, that's kind of the definition of a great accessory for us.
Right. And also just, you know, for me, design is so important. The simple, clean lines in your products, how they complement and don't necessarily detract from the beauty of the Mac products. It's a really additive process for a lot of your products, right?
Well, yes. So we're certainly playing in the best design computer playground in the world. So obviously we're influenced by that. So we try to complement it without copying it, I have to say. There are some that look at it and see what pieces they can clone and kind of like piece together. We specifically don't do that. Our design philosophy is hopefully where we end up being compatible from a design perspective, but complementary with its own twist, its own thing, its distinctive design that's compatible with but not a clone of Apple hardware.
And that takes a lot of time and effort, but something else that's surprising to me that I want to ask you about is you said it's been 40 months. Yeah. You guys have generated a lot of really unique products. Do you know how many you have now on the market, individual products? And, I mean, how do you keep up that kind of pace and still maintain that sort of level of quality and attention to detail?
Well, it's kind of funny. 12 South kind of stands for that we want to do, you know, about 12 great products a year. And so in the first year, that was kind of this noble, we're going to be a small company. And what we didn't really think about is that in 5 years, that's, what, 60 products, right? We're like, oh, geez, we didn't really want that many products. We really just kind of want to do innovative ideas as they come and never be forced into making a certain amount of products. And most importantly, we never want to take, you know, dozens of products and just throw them against the wall and see what sticks. We always want to get behind and be passionate about and almost introduce family members of products to 12 South, and we do that. So to your point, it was cute for the first couple years, but now they're kind of stacking up, and what we really are not very good at is retiring our family members yet. So we don't intend on having a huge stable. But what has happened, though, is that we've been fortunate enough to grow into families of products. The Book Arc is now a family of products, which is way cool. The BookBook family of products started with the MacBook case, and then the iPad, and now the iPhone BookBook for 4 and 5. So, and our customers demand it, actually. So, and we're blessed to have that, to where a piece of Apple hardware comes out and the phone instantly rings, where's my BookBook for my new Apple hardware? So, We're really blessed to have just an amazing group of customers and followers of 12 South that, you know, honestly demand a higher level of quality from us, and so we strive to do that.
Yeah, I think when you have that kind of computer system and your users demand that, they're going to demand that of their accessories, and I think 12 South is one of those companies that's definitely delivering. So let's finish up talking about your latest stuff. I just got a press release this morning. You have a brand new product out. You want to tell us a little bit about what that is and what it does?
I'd love to, because it has a great story, right? So the first kind of case product we ever did was the BookBook, and the first specific iPhone product that we ever did was the BookBook for iPhone out of necessity. We needed a good kind of guy-friendly, like, wallet iPhone case combination, and that's so far kind of our only play into there. But in recent times, what we've observed and what a lot of us actually end up doing is foregoing a case at all. Use the iPhone naked, as it were, because I think some of the cases have just gotten completely out of control. You know, some of the cases that can withstand run over by a tank. You know, some of the cases that you can go, you know, whitewater rafting in. Really, is that really what you need every day on your phone? So, but there is this great minimal amount of protection that would be nice to have on your phone. But so a lot of users were so kind of disgusted with the giant plastic rubber grenades for their iPhone that they just went naked altogether. It's almost just rebelling against cases altogether. And, you know, we really understood that and wanted to kind of address that. So here's what we did. We took our expertise in doing the Surface Pad for MacBook, which is this thin, tiny little layer of like soft Nappa leather that goes on the deck of the MacBook where your wrist rests, and we applied that to the iPhone. So we take a thin little layer of Nappa leather and adhere it to the back of the iPhone with the same adhesive that we use on the MacBooks that we've used for 3 years flawlessly. No residue. You can, you know, remove it and replace it as many times as you want, given environmental conditions. And so we adhere this beautiful little Nappa leather piece to the iPhone and wrap it around. And what's super cool is that it's just this thin little modern protection for the things that I think people care about most, and that's like the screen and the back, right? So it allows you to like lay it down on like, you know, a concrete park bench. It allows you to like slip it in your pocket with keys and like, you know, protect the screen from getting gouged and, you know, scratched up from your keychain. It's like real world protection, not, you know, mountain climbing, whitewater rafting protection. the cool thing is that because the adhesive is removable and replaceable, when you do go whitewater rafting or you want to do one of the GoPro style cases for that certain event, you can actually remove it, use that heavy duty case, and then come back and put your everyday minimal case back on it. So it's less than a tenth of an inch thin. It is less than an ounce. And it goes right around the iPhone here. And, you know, the cool thing is that, you know, its design sensibility is clean and sleek and modern like the iPhone. I think it complements the iPhone design instead of hiding it or embarrassing it. And, yeah, we call it Surface Pad for iPhone, and it's shipping today. What do you think?
It looks beautiful. He's just handed me one, and the feel is excellent. I'm one of those naked case guys. I always had been, but when I got my iPhone 5, that chamfered edge got dinged up. Like, just when I put it in my pocket accidentally with my keys for a few seconds. Yep. So I knew exactly what you're talking about, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners know exactly what you're talking about, where it's that real-world protection. So you mentioned it's available today. What's the pricing on it?
So it's available in red, white, and black, and it is $34.99. So it's a nice accessible price point, but it is real leather, which is really important to us because real leather will soften as you use it. So this is relatively new, a week or two. I've had mine on. My wife and partner actually has had hers for 3 or 4 months, and it's just like butter. It's amazing. And then there's this one little additional feature. You flip it around and then put the phone out, and it creates a little stand. So in testing this, we thought, oh, you know, this is a cute idea. Let's play with it. And I was floored how much I used it like that, right? So when I travel, I kind of flipped the stand around and made it on my bedside table, little clock, travel clock, alarm clock thing. I use it when I'm doing FaceTime, like for real, like Skype or FaceTime. I just set it in front of me, and I can have a hands-free conversation with the person on the other side. But I think the favorite use of the little stand and the Surface Pad for iPhone is we have 3 children. And so when we go out and the food's taking a little too long at the local Brass and Fern, we can throw on some cartoons and keep the kids quiet for just 5 more minutes till the food gets there. But no, it's a really cool case and really kind of addresses kind of the new real world needs of a lot of iPhone users that are so kind of disgusted with the big silly rubber plastic cases that they've gone naked. So this is the case for the naked iPhone users that gives them, you know, just this really nice slice of protection.
Yeah, and I kind of was going to comment on the little stitching accent that you have that enables the stand feature. I thought it was just an accent, and it's actually functional as well. And that's the kind of detail that I think 12 South puts in their products that's really amazing. You know, it's a nice little accent. It looks beautiful, and then it's also functional.
Yeah, super minimal. It's just the most, you know, minimum amount that you can have. But, you know, I will say it's not invisible. Right? I mean, you could get like invisible film and do that, but we're not afraid of adding, you know, a bit of pop, a bit of personality to your phone. We just wanted it to be kind of compatible and, you know, not embarrassing to the iPhone. So again, we're like playing in the same front yard as, you know, the design of the iPhone, but hopefully complementing it and not embarrassing it. And we're really pleased with it. It's this great, you know, just small little product, Surface Pad for iPhone, and we think it really like meets the needs of a lot of customers out there, including me.
I think myself as well. Well, great. Thank you for sitting down and talking to us, telling us about the company and the new product. If people want to see this thing, I'm assuming it's up on your website. Where can they go to check it out?
It is. 12south.com has all the information and loads of pictures. Definitely check out the gallery. A lot of great images of this product that give you a great idea. But, you know, honestly, nothing can replace the feel of it. This just this nice leather in your hand when you have it. But all the information and if you know want to purchase one is available at 12south.com, spelled out TWELVE, south.com.
Great. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Adam.
All right, I'm here at Macworld over at the Transporter booth, and I'm with Jeff Barrell. And Transporter is a new, innovative product, and I'm going to let Jeff tell you a little bit about exactly what it is, because I think it's really unique in the marketplace. You guys are addressing a unique issue. So tell them a little bit about what the Transporter is and the sort of problem it solves.
Thanks, Adam. So the goal with Transporter was to create a really, really simple way for people to move files around. Maybe they want to share files with friends or family members. Maybe they want to back files up off-site. Maybe they need to collaborate with people on projects. All of this stuff is super hard today. And so we wanted to produce a solution that was very, very straightforward. And most of the other solutions as well are cloud-based, and cloud-based solutions just don't have very good characteristics around privacy. They're expensive to use. Sometimes they're very complicated. And so we wanted to build something that was private and owned by individuals as well. So you can be sure that all of your data is private, and you can be sure exactly what you're going to pay. You just pay once up front, and there's no subscription fees going on. But for us, really, the goal was simplicity, something that was just super easy for people to be able to share, collaborate, and back up files.
So it's basically a piece of hardware. It's a network-connected storage device. But the goal here is, unlike some of the other solutions that we've seen on the market, is to be able to share files, but sort of retain ownership of everything. You have all your files. You own the devices. You share with other devices and people. But nothing goes up into the cloud, right? It's all local between devices or between devices and computers.
Absolutely. It's all peer-to-peer. No data ever goes in the cloud. Even a connected data, we never see file names or bits of data. Everything's 100% private to you. So the data is only ever shared with the people that you want to share with, and only ever located in exactly the locations that you give permission to. So it's something you can have a confidence. You know exactly where your files are. You know exactly how many copies there are. And it's 100% private.
Right, and so we're going to get into some of the solutions and some of the use case scenarios in a bit, but I want to back up a little bit because a lot of people might not recognize Connected Data or Transporter. It's a new product, new company, but it's really not a new company. So can you talk a little bit about the history and where you guys are coming from with the product?
Sure, yeah. Almost everybody in our company is one of the founding members of Drobo. So with Drobo, which we founded back in 2005, our goal was to make safe, expandable storage very, very accessible to everybody, right? Because before that, it was RAID, it was complicated. We just wanted to simplify that whole thing. And so with Connected Data, we've reassembled the same team, same ops guys, same engineers, same marketing folks. And we wanted to put together basically a solution that allows people to move data around and make that just as simple. So yeah, we've been in the business for a while. Drobo was a lot of fun, and now we're excited to tackle this new area.
And so let's talk a little bit about some of the reasons for this product and why you brought it to market, maybe some of the use case scenarios that your customers are going to be using these things. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was just shocking to us how difficult it was to move files. Myself and some of the other founders had about 20 gigs of files to move around, which is about 1% of a modern hard drive. Like, it's not an enormous amount of data, right? But trying to move 20 gigs of files was just really difficult. Like, literally, the only way we could figure out to do it was to drive over to the other person's house with a hard drive, put the data on and bring it back. And it just seemed in 2012, when we got going on this thing, that it shouldn't be that hard anymore, right? So we wanted to make that really, really simple and straightforward to do. And offsite backup, again, if you've got a large amount of data to back up offsite, but it's private, it's not something you necessarily want to be in the cloud, you want to worry about the privacy, or you want to continue to pay for on a monthly basis, again, there was just no good solution. So like a lot of people, my photo library, I've got 250 gigs of photos, is only at my house, right? I needed to get a copy of that somewhere else in case, you know, my house gets burgled or I have fire or some other disaster, I wanted to get that offsite. I want to share files with my friends. There was no easy solution to do that, so I want to make sure I had to do that. And you can move documents around with a lot of the different cloud services. But again, there's no clear indication of how many copies there are. For corporate reasons, I need to make sure files are deleted on a retention policy or something like that. With cloud services, there's no way to ensure that that kind of thing happens. And so we had these problems as consumers. And then on the advice of the people who were setting up the company for us, we started talking to other lawyers. And also, they introduced us to folks in the medical community. And what we hadn't realized was that folks in those industries can't use the cloud. They're legally prohibited from doing so. And so they were super excited about getting a solution that allowed, you know, them to move files about and share and back up files too. And so we started to realize there was a much bigger problem than just a few friends trying to move data backwards and forwards. And it seemed to us you could make something that was really, really simple. And, you know, with just a couple of clicks, you could create folders, you could share documents with friends. Everything would just look like a local file system, so there was nothing new to learn. We just wanted to really make it really, really easy for people.
And so the key, one of the big keys here is the peer-to-peer nature of it. So let's talk about that a little bit. So it's obviously a hardware product. You can go from hardware to hardware. You can also go from hardware to a laptop. So not everybody has to have a transporter to participate in the sharing, right?
That's right. Wherever you want there to be a complete copy of the data, you need a transporter. If you want to host your own copy of the data, you need a transporter. But if you're just participating and sharing with other people, you absolutely don't need one. Somebody needs to have one. But other people can get invites and they can share files, you know, that they can cache locally or just come back to the transporter to access with people who have transporters. So you can extend the network out as far as you want to go. You can literally have tens of transporters all working together, all sharing and collaborating on the same data sets. And you can extend that further out to, you know, literally tens or hundreds of people who then connect into that network from their desktop computers.
Right. So it gives you a lot of flexibility and options, and obviously, you know, the great scenario is having a couple of them, so you can do the offsite, you know, full syncing, but you can also do that just folder connected folder sharing.
Exactly. So we just wouldn't want there to be any limits. You know, if you're sharing, say you're collaborating on a video or audio podcast, you're probably both going to want to transport. So you've got a local copy of all that data. You can edit it locally and work on it locally and then just benefit from the changes that each other's making. But if I just want to invite my mother to share a photos folder, I want to drop some photos of the kids in, then she's never going to buy a transporter. I can just send her an invite, and right there on her desktop, she's going to have a folder with the photos in. She can add photos of her own, or she can drag out the photos that I put in the folder and, you know, print them or take, you know, or do whatever she wants with those.
Right. And let's talk a little bit just quickly about the security too. So it's secure, you know, peer-to-peer, you don't have extra copies of data floating around somewhere on some server that could maybe be seized, you don't know what's going on with, right?
The data is only ever located on the computers and the transports that you invite. A connected data, we never see anything. File names, bits of data, and nobody else does. The transfers between transporters and between laptop computers all have military-grade encryption. So again, anybody snooping on the data at a coffee shop or anything else isn't going to be able to access that data either or see it. So the whole thing's just 100% private.
Right. And then the only thing you were showing me is there is a website that you go to set up your connected folders, but that's just really setting up those folders and shares and stuff like that, and that's it.
Yeah, basically we have a central service that just helps the transporters find each other and helps you send invites to other people. So I guess our central service is like a traffic cop. It helps the transporters find each other. It says which transporters can connect to which folders. But other than that, yeah, it doesn't have any visibility into the data at all. So it's 100% private.
Right, and there's no fee for that part of the service. So you buy the hardware products, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah, we didn't, like a lot of people, I guess, we're sort of fatigued with subscriptions and signing up for more and more of these things. So we literally just wanted you to buy it and own it. You know exactly what you're paying day one, and that's all you ever have to pay to use it.
And so just I'll talk on the hardware a little bit. It's amazing. They're a lot smaller than I thought they were when I saw them online. So it's a single drive product, Ethernet connection and power. And then if you want Wi-Fi, there's a USB dongle, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, you can buy it from us with or without a hard drive. You can fit your own hard drive if you want to do so. Choose any 2.5-inch hard drive and fit it into the product simply. Or we sell it in a 1 or 2 terabyte capacity if you just want to buy it with a hard drive in. The software we have aggregates the transporters together. So if you need more capacity than you can have on a single hard drive, you can buy 2 or 3 of these things. And again, on your desktop software and with the people you share, it just all looks like one big pool of storage. So you don't have to worry about limits. You can just scale as you need to.
Yeah. And you guys have been in development and testing for a while. I know there was a Kickstarter project that some people might be familiar with you from, but you're launching now. The product's available starting today?
That's right. We went to general availability today. We've had a 3-month beta. We have 100 transporters out in the field all working with people sharing and collaborating on data. Some business, some consumer. So it's been very, very well tested. Units shipped out from China already, so they're on their way here. We're fulfilling our Kickstarter orders first. We had 1,200 orders so far. So we're off to a good start. But yeah, you can order today and literally within the next couple of weeks get a transporter.
All right. So if people want to do that, tell them a little bit about the pricing with and without hard drives and then where they can go to order theirs.
Sure. You can. We actually have a show special today. So the 0 terabyte version of the transporter is $179, or it's $269 with a terabyte of storage. You can come along to our website. The site is filetransporter.com, all one word, or connecteddata.com, all one word again. So go to either one of those. There's a buy button right there. You can buy from us in our store or buy from any one of our partners if there's a brand you prefer to get it from.
And hard drive options, did you say?
Yep, you can buy it without a hard drive and fit your own, or you can buy a 1 or 2 terabyte hard drive from us. That's your choice.
And the pricing with a terabyte hard drive and 2 terabyte hard drive?
$269 with a 1 terabyte, $349 with a 2 terabyte.
Very cool. Well, people should go check it out. I know you got videos and a lot of information on the website so people can see what it looks like and how it works. I'll just tell you, the units are a lot smaller, so they're going to fit right nicely into your home network.
We want them to look great. We've got a new design we like the way it looks. We hope the customers will too. So,
yeah, it's a nice little tower design. So check it out on the website. Jeff, thank you so much for telling us about the product.
Thanks, Adam.
So one of the great things about Macworld is just walking around and meeting people with unique ideas. And, you know, you don't always have to go to a booth to find a unique product. So I was doing the interview with Connected Data, and Jason Hilborn came up and saw what I was up to and told me he has a unique product that he developed through a Kickstarter thing. And Kickstarter is awesome. I think all love it. So, Jason, what were you just showing me? You've got this product, and what is it?
So Twig is an ultra-portable iPhone charge and sync cable. It's super short. It's only 4 inches long. But what makes Twig really special is it has this metal bendable skeleton in it and two legs. So you can kind of bend the legs out, and it becomes this kind of Gumby cable. And then if you bend the legs in a certain way, it becomes a tripod, or it can also be a wall charger dock. It's really limited only by your imagination. But primarily people are using it for like super hands-free FaceTime and also for tripod photos.
Right. So like you're saying, it's sort of, if anybody's ever had one of those little rubber Gumby is probably the thing a lot of us would know. It's, you know, the bendable kind of figurine material. So it's got these little legs that come out of the side of a short sync charge cable with USB on one end and a 30-pin connector on the other end. And then so you can kind of flex it around, like you said, and make a little stand. So if you're doing FaceTime or something like that, and it's super small, flat, and thin. So it looks like it would be easily fit in a pocket or a notebook bag or what have you.
Yeah, that was its first mission, was to be ultra portable. So we wanted road warriors to be able to just throw this in their backpack or their bag or whatever, instead of the really long 1 meter cable that Apple ships with their phones. You know, those are great cables, but if you've ever yanked one out of your bag, sometimes you get your keys tangled up in there, your pens, business cards, everything's flying out of your backpack. You don't want all that stuff. You just want to carry a short little cable. And this thing has this, you know, what made it blow up on Kickstarter was the kind of simple extra kind of aha thing of having these little legs on it. And that's what really captures people's imaginations, is this ability to do the hands-free FaceTime or take really good self shots when you're away, hands-free too.
So it's kind of dual multiple purpose, and I'm sure people are using it in very creative ways. Have you found anybody using it in a way that you weren't expecting when you were designing the product?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's mostly intended for folks on the road. So for doing quick syncs with their laptop, sticking it into an AC adapter on the wall. So instead of at the airport when you've got your cable lying on the floor and you got your phone on the floor where everyone's walking with their shoes, who knows where their shoes has been, this kind of puts it on the wall in kind of a very attractive, efficient way. Anyway, what I didn't expect is that folks are using it a lot at their home with their desktops. And what they do is they stick it up on their desk like a dock, and they have maybe a USB extension cable that hooks to this thing, and then it becomes like an impromptu dock to have that doesn't take much space on your desk. Anyway, I never intended it to be used that way, but people dig it that way.
So they're almost using like a dock stand.
Absolutely.
Wow, very, very cool. Well, again, it's amazing when you come to Macworld, you know, you can just run into somebody with a really unique product. If people want to check them out, I'm assuming it got funded, and are they shipping?
Yeah, we did great. We launched this thing on Kickstarter back in June of last summer, and finished it up in about 6 months. So we shipped them out to all our backers, almost 5,000 backers, in October and November. And now you can buy them on Amazon. So look for Twig on Amazon. You can have your own Twig in your pocket and your backpack today.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And how much do they cost?
$20.
Excellent. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Adam.
All right, one of the things I love about coming to Macworld, again, is the unique products that you find. You're not going to see anywhere else or being launched here. And I was coming by a booth here and noticed this really unique gaming device for doing... it's a bow, essentially. So you can take your iPhone, your iPod Touch, and turn it into a bow. But I have Max Green here. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit more about the bow blade. So, Max, what is the bow blade?
So the bow blade is an active gaming device, as we like to call it, which really incorporates your body into the whole gaming experience, making it more realistic and more interactive. What it is composed essentially of two different bows, making it one system with a mount for your iPod, iPhone, any device like that. And what it does is it interacts with already existing shooter games, first-person shooter games that are already on the App Store. Most of the ones that we interact with are free. We have over 35 ones that are capable of using with the bow blade. And it really adds for a workout experience that you're not going to find anywhere else.
Right. So you were having me sample this thing, and it's going to be hard to describe in audio, but I'm hoping you have a website we can send people to later to look at pictures. But you, in essence, have two blades and a mount, and then there's a string between it that has an active system. It's actually a mechanical system, right, to activate the trigger. But you actually do a bow-like action, pulling it all the way back and using, like you were showing me, a hunting game with turkeys.
Yeah, it's called Turkey Blaster, and that's one of our more basic games. It's tilt-activated, so you tilt the device, but really what you do is now you're tilting the bow blade when you hook it up. And so what it does is there's a string attached in the center of the bow blade connecting from one end to the other. On one end is the mount and the iPod or iPhone with a little trigger device that touches it. Now, the touch system is activated when the string is pulled at a very high tension, which forces you to bring your other arm back, pulling on the other end of the bow blade to create that tension, giving you an essential workout while also pulling and activating the trigger while playing a game.
Right, right. And you really do have to pull back on that thing. It does give your arms a nice workout. It's cool to see kind of a physical system. And it really, to me, I know I've shot a bow a couple times in my life, and it does kind of simulate that real bow feel.
That's what we're really going for, especially if, you know, you're someone who regularly does use a bow. You want to be able to, even in your off season, if you're in a wheelchair, you want to be able to still get an upper body workout and get a more realistic experience. I can guarantee you there's nothing else on the market that is really like the bow blade. It's a really unique product, and it's really good for a workout and to have some fun.
Yeah, it just makes it a lot of fun, yeah. Too. I mean, sometimes just having a really cool, fun product is awesome as well. I was asking you a little bit, so how did the idea come about? I mean, I think you said your uncle developed it and you kind of helped him test it and get it refined?
The idea came about, the bow blade, it was like it was a secret for hundreds of years where really it has so many capabilities that no one ever really realized. And my uncle, the founder of the bow blade, he was really the one who realized that this can be used as a gaming device, as a workout device, and has locks into so many different capabilities for the future that really make it an all-in-one product. And I've been along with him, helping him develop and really modify for the benefit of the public the product along the way.
Yeah, and what was his background? Is he into bows, or where did the idea come from?
Well, the background, he is a chiropractor, so he's a lot into, you know, physical health, posture, all that type of stuff. And his background, he was a stuntman. He's done stunts, specialized in weapons, and always had a fond interest of the bow. And that's how this idea just one day struck him that, hey, this can really, really just be used in so many different ways. In fact, it's improved my posture because when you're using an actual technique that forces you to stand up straight and really lock into the realism of what's going on.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love it. It was a lot of fun. So people should check it out. If they want to see the product, where can they go? And also, how much is the product and where can they get it?
We are selling the product for a regular retail price at $185, and you can buy the product at bowblade.net. One of the great things about the product is that it is made of a very sturdy metal, a very strong material, so you buy it once and you're set for life.
Very, very cool. Well, thanks, Max. Great product. Good luck at the show.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right, I'm over at MyFC, and I'm talking to Bjorn, and they have a really unique charging product. I know we've seen a lot of charging products out for our smartphones and iOS devices, but Bjorn, this one's a little bit different. Can you tell everybody what the PowerTrek is and what it does?
Yeah, the PowerTrek is a hybrid system based on fuel cell. So what you do actually is that you pour water into a water tank and a puck into the water tank, and then you have a hydrogen fab, basically. We create hydrogen. And then the fuel cell itself consumes the hydrogen and splits the hydrogen into electrons and to protons. And from that, we get the energy that you need to put into your USB device.
So it's a battery, but the key here is it's kind of got two parts. You've got a 1500 milliamp battery, you were telling me, on the top unit, but then there's a little bottom unit where there's a little puck you put in into the system, you add some water, and it's a hydrogen fuel cell. So that's an additional, you said, 1100 milliamps of charge, right?
Correct. So every puck is about 1100 milliamp hours.
So the idea here is you don't need to be connected to power. You don't need to find a wall outlet. You have the puck, you throw it in the system, add a little water, and you've got charge anywhere you need it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're totally independent of the grid. So if you're a business guy, a trekking guy, a traveling guy, whatever, you take the power track with you, and you will always be able to fill up your battery on your iPhone or whatever you have.
And so many of us have that situation now because we're carrying our devices. Maybe we have a battery, and like you said, this one has a battery in it, so you can charge that up before you leave. But you have that situation when you're out and about, you've used up your battery, and now you just need that extra little boost.
Correct, absolutely. And we call it the power gap, EI, the difference between what you consume every day as you do more and more and more, and of course, what the battery is capable of bringing with you as a energy reserve.
Yeah, so basically as long as you have a few pucks in your bag and access to a little bit of water, you're charging.
Absolutely, then you're fine to go.
And I think most of us can find water most of the time. You were saying that you're showing some of the product here now, but availability and pricing in the U.S. sometime this spring maybe?
Yeah, we're heading for end of April for U.S. and the pricing would be something like $229 for the system.
Around in that range. Well, truly unique and truly innovative. It's really cool to see. If people want to check it out, if they want to see the product, see what it looks like, get more information, where can they go?
To Macworld here. I don't know the booth number here.
Oh. But do you have a website?
Yeah, okay, sorry. That's powertrek.com or myfc.se.
Great, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
So I was walking down the hall here, and I was excited to see the Slope booth because this was a product I actually saw the Kickstarter video for recently and was very interested in how it worked. It's a really elegantly designed iPad stand, but it has a unique way of holding your iPad. And I'm talking here with Eric. Eric, I want to just ask you real quick about the background. How did you decide to start making these products? I mean, do you have a background in that, or is it something different?
No, I had no background at all in this field. My background is actually web design, but I had an idea when the first iPad came out for a case. And so I started to, I didn't know where to go and what questions to ask, and so I just started reaching out to all my friends who may have friends, and started showing up at machine shops and reading everything I could online. And
so you kind of learned on the fly.
Learned on the fly entirely, yeah.
I think a lot of us do that. Now, when you were doing the iPad case, I know this went through Kickstarter. Was Kickstarter even around back then, or was this product helped along by the fact that we now have this sort of crowdsource thing where a guy like you can take an idea and now you actually have a way to kind of get some backing and actually get some legs behind it?
Yeah, this wouldn't happen without Kickstarter. That's how we got off the ground.
Yeah, was that one of the challenges when you had your original ideas for the case? I mean, was it around? Did you try that through Kickstarter, or was that not around at the time?
No, I had worked on four different ideas. This is actually the first of the four that I brought to market.
Yeah. Well, and so one of the things that really caught my eye when I saw the Kickstarter video is it's a fixed angle stand, but how your iPad attaches to it is really unique. Can you talk about how that works?
Yeah, so the front face of the iPad, or the stand, as well as underneath, have two pads. The pads are essentially a particular make of foam that are laden with thousands of air pockets. And so when an object with a flat surface presses against the foam, the air is released and pressed out, and it creates a vacuum. And the vacuum is what gives you the suction.
Yeah, so it's like, I would imagine, I don't know how many are in there, it's a large surface area, so thousands, if not maybe millions, of little tiny air pockets that are working almost like little micro suction cups, it seems like, right? Is that an accurate description?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've seen other stands like this that use, you know, just one suction cup, but this just, it adheres right on. And something I was really impressed by is it seems like it's pretty tight hold. I would be worried it might slide off, but I was pulling on it, and I could put some pretty good force on it, and nothing happened. Somebody even said they thought maybe it was magnets.
I get that a lot. A lot of people think it's magnets. And it kind of sounds like magnets, the way it pops off.
Yeah, and it's also on the base, so and you were saying pretty much any flat surface it's going to be able to adhere to. Plastics are kind of better, I would assume, maybe glass or metal as well.
Yeah, and wood as well.
And wood also. Okay, very, very cool. Well, if people want to see it, it's not quite out yet. You're getting ready to ship. It sounds like you're taking some pre-orders, so can you talk about pricing and about when availability is going to be?
Yeah, we the price that we're offering is $69. That's not firm yet. We're still working out cost issues. But it's available on our site, which is dekke.net, D-E-K-K-E.net. Or you can find us through Kickstarter. And the product is called Slope, S-L-O-P-E.
And it looks like about maybe spring time frame of this year?
Yeah, springtime.
Well, very cool, Eric, and people should definitely check it out. You got to see the thing, and like I said, I saw the video online and was just blown away by some of the technology that's in here, and so really unique materials and a really great design. So thanks for chatting with us and showing it to us.
Yeah, thank you.
So I moved over here to the Henge Docs booth, and I am here with the CEO, Matt, and we were going through the product line. I think we talked about the vertical docks that Henge did either last year or a couple years ago. How long has those been on the market?
Our pro models have been on the market since April of 2010, but we spent about 6 months after launching sold out. So really, I'm going to say our rebirth was probably the first of the year in 2011.
Yeah, and so there's some really unique, well-designed vertical docking solutions. The Pro Dock was the one for the Mac Pro line, and you would run the cables. You have now some for the MacBook Airs, and there's been an update to those, right?
Yes, we've released a high-speed version that has enabled USB 3 pass-through. The old ones were USB 2, but that was before Apple decided to grace us with USB 3 in their Air line.
Right. So they started with those docking solutions. They've been expanding the line over the years. Something I think was out last year is the click solution for the keyboard and the Magic Trackpad. We were talking, though, Apple recently did an update, and it makes it even more relevant now, right?
Correct. So Apple just released, enabled, Bluetooth input via keyboard and mouse on the Apple TV, which I think is something that people have been begging for. That little remote, in a lot of cases, just doesn't cut it, and now it really opens up the possibilities. So the Click is a perfect solution for that use case scenario because you've got your Bluetooth keyboard and your trackpad in one place, and you can still click while it's on your lap.
Yeah, it holds it nice together as a single unit. And when the Magic Trackpad first came out, there were a lot of people saying this is the ideal solution for marrying those two and making them a single cohesive unit. And it's even more useful now because we're going to want to have it on our laps in our living room. So you guys have the Click solution for that.
Yeah. That's what we're going for, so thank you.
Very cool. And then a couple of new products. You have a new stand for the iPhone and the iPad called Gravitas. Tell everybody what's unique about that solution.
Okay, well, it's a lot more than a stand. It's actually a full-fledged dock. So basically, we looked at the withdrawal of Apple from the docking market, and we kind of asked ourselves, what would be a good way to replace that? So we created a nearly 1 kilogram solution that works for both the iPad and the iPhone, and in 30-pin and Lightning flavors as well. And those start at $69. They'll be available in March and April, but they're available for pre-order on our website right now, which we highly recommend because we tend to stock out being a small company.
Right, and the one thing about this solution versus, say, Apple's docking solution that I really appreciate is I went and picked one of these things up, and they have a good heft to them. They're not going to fall over. Your stuff's going to be secure when it's docked in there.
Yeah, and again, back to that just idea of reducing user friction with their environment. It only takes one hand to pop the thing off. It always stays in the right place, and you've got the same, say if you've got an iPad and an iPhone, and you have two of these docks, you have the same form factor, the same look for both on your desk, and it just really helps clean up your desk.
Yeah, and the other thing you were telling me is that it comes with 3 different inserts, so you're not going to have different ones. Well, you might want multiples if you've got multiple devices, but you'll be able to have the iPad insert, you'll have iPhone insert, and iPhone case insert all in the same unit, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I don't particularly see people wanting to like swap out the insert every time because it kind of defeats the purpose of a dock.
Buy more.
Yeah, exactly. buy more, please. We'll probably end up doing, we do two-pack deals with a lot of our products because for our docks, people use one in the home and one in the office. And so we recognize that really early on. And I think the same thing is going to happen with the Gravitas where it's, yeah, you're buying one, might as well buy another. So we'll give them a discount for a two-pack purchase.
Yeah, and then something really exciting you're doing with your docking line, the Henge Docks, is you've gone from the vertical orientation to a new horizontal orientation. And I think I first heard about this at CES. I think you launched there. Tell us about the new solution and what you're doing there, because you're doing a lot of really unique, innovative things with that beyond just the hardware.
So I think that a lot of people recognize that the docking station market for Macs have really been looking for a horizontal solution. And the main benefit to a horizontal solution is you can use the computer with its screen open. Our existing docking lines are great for organizing your desktop. People use an external monitor. But this opens up an entirely different marketplace, especially in the business environments. I mean, how many times do you walk into a PC office? How many docks do you see in your PC office? It's full of them. Yeah. When you see the Mac office, you'll see a few Henge docks here and there, people who have are fit into that use case scenario. So it's a much broader product. But it's more than a hardware solution. And we realized this as we were going through the first design iterations a couple years ago of this product, that the problem isn't really necessarily with plugging in cables. It's the moving from on the go to being at your desk. One example being you have all of your hardware preferences and everything set up, and sound starts coming out of the wrong speakers, or your windows are all over the place when you get back on your multiple monitor setup. If you've got three monitors, your windows will be stuck on one from when you were on the go. So we also include a software portion, and that's really the main benefit of this dock. So back to the hardware side, it's fully electronic. You drop your computer in, and one of the use case scenarios we allow the user to set up is you simply drop your computer into the dock, and the dock automatically inserts the port. So it's got a fully electronic drivetrain that allows you to eject and import the ports straight from OS X.
Yeah, so that's it's just unbelievable. I can't. The attention to detail I was telling you is amazing, and it's the kind of thing that obviously you appreciate, Mac users really appreciate, because it makes a difference. It's that user experience. So you're saying you got sensors in there. I can drop my thing in there. It's gonna pull everything in, dock everything, get it in the right place. And you said that there's quite a bit of challenge in engineering behind that as well, right?
Yeah, and one of the key things is we like to do the one hand test. Like if you can, not thinking, just not looking, just drop it in, and it does everything just as it should. We're achieving the design goal of extending the user experience that Apple's included with their computer to the other aspects of your desk. And it's one of those things that once you have it, it's really hard to live without it. So that's what we're going for.
Yeah, I don't have to think about it. And then the software on top of it. So you guys are moving into software, integrating the software and hardware so that you have that seamless user experience. And that's the kind of thing, you know, companies like Henge and that are doing that for the Mac market, that's what we want. So it's always great to be able to come out and see the kinds of technology and things that you guys are doing. And I'm very excited to see these things. So let's go through the line and talk about pricing and availability. We'll start with the Vertical Docks Pro and the Airs.
Okay. The Air Docks, they start at $55 through our website normally. We have some show specials going on here. The Pro Docks, they start at $70 and change in price from there again. The Click is at $25. The Gravitas will be available at $69. And the Horizontal Docks are going to start at $250 for the mini DisplayPort versions, which include three monitors out. That was another kind of benefit that I didn't mention. Yeah. So you can have, on a Retina display, you can run four monitors total, including the one that's in there. I mean, that's more monitors than probably anybody ever could want. So I run three on my desk, and it's fantastic. And then the Thunderbolt version will be available for $350, and that will have twin Thunderbolt pass-throughs.
And so, we did forget to talk about the ports. You want to talk about, there's like 14 ports on these things, so you're going to be able to hook up everything that you want, right?
Exactly. I tend to leave that out because it's sort of almost a given, you know, and a solution that's going to be successful. So, yeah, we have 14 ports. We're replacing some of the ports that were lost with the form factor update, like your FireWire 800, your Ethernet jack, those are all back there. You're getting six USB 3 ports on the back, SD card slot, there's a power input, and twin audio jacks. That's one of the cool features that we put in there. And I put that in for selfish reasons. I plug a stereo into my Mac and a headset, and I'm always switching between the two of them. And if we're going to try and get people away from like unplugging and plugging in cords, we're like, let's get rid of that. So we put two remote audio processors in the dock, and what that allows you to do is switch on the fly between your audio sources right from OS X.
Wow, amazing, amazing stuff. On the vertical dock, do you know when that's going to be available, or is it a little too soon?
The horizontal docks?
Yeah, so horizontal dock, I got confused.
The horizontal docks, we're aiming for quarter three of 2013 this year. So.
All right, great. Well, if people want to see all this stuff, get more info, you're running some great visuals here on the monitors here, but I'm assuming you have more information on your website.
That's correct. Yeah, and all the products that are going to be coming out are available for pre-order. And there's no obligation. It's just an email sign up. We'll let you know when it's ready. And the people who sign up will be first in line for the products because, like I said, we do tend to stock out during launches. You know, for a company like ours, cash flow is king, and purchasing a lot of inventory is rough.
So the website address is?
www.hingedocs.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
So I moved over to the Oloclip booth, and I have Patrick here again. I think we talked last year. You guys had brought out the Oloclip lens system for the iPhone 4S. I've got to get my iPhones right. So for those people who maybe missed that or don't know what the Oloclip is, can you just give them a brief rundown of what Oloclip is and what it does?
Sure. The Oloclip lens system is a fisheye wide-angle macro lens for the iPhone 4 and 4S is what we had. Now we have also for the 5. And we also have an adapter for the iPod Touch, fifth generation coming soon, so you'll be able to use the Oloclip on that as well.
Right. So it was a great system. What I loved about it was it just slides over the corner of your iPhone. I know people can't see it. We'll send them to the website so they can get images if they're not familiar with it. But it, and then the lens system just is built right in, and you just flip it around if you want the fisheye versus the, see if I remember this right, the wide angle. And then the macro, you just unscrew it and you get a macro feature as well.
Yeah, that's right. So it's just very simple, easy, small. It's less than, weighs half as much as a car key, and it's half the size. Fits in your pocket in a nice little bag we include. You don't even notice it's there. And you just, if you see something cool you want to take a picture of, just pull it out, put it on your iPhone and take some pictures, and then just put it back in your pocket and keep going.
All right, and now you have a new one for the iPhone. And like you said, you're going to be coming out with a little adapter for the Touch, and that's going to be included when it comes out in the system, right?
Yeah, the Touch adapter will be included for free in the box once we start shipping in about 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks on that. And then the other thing that you've done, and I'm curious, did this come out of a request from your customers? You've now done a case. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we had so many customers that say they love the Oloclip, but they really feel like they have to have their iPhone in a case. So we came up with an innovative way where you can just open the lid on the case, and it exposes the corner of the iPhone so you can slide the Oloclip on. Because the Oloclip has to be a fraction of a millimeter from the camera. The optics need that close. You can't have an air gap with the optics if they're going to work properly.
So, and the one thing about that system, so I came over and I'm looking at the case and I saw how it sort of rotates around off the corner, and then one of your booth people there gave me a little demo and then showed me it doesn't just flip around though, you take advantage of that cover in a unique way. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, so the cover flips around and flips out of the way, and then it lines up perfectly with the plus button on the iPhone. So now you've got a big shutter button that you can put your thumb on and just lightly press when you want to take a picture so you minimize camera shake.
Yeah, so like with other cases, you know, I have one of these cases where the buttons are kind of recessed and it's almost hard to hit that, so I don't use that feature very much, and this kind of solves that problem. And then it adds a couple nice things in terms of being able to do tripod mount, and you have a cold shoe as well?
That's right. There's tripod mount for landscape, another tripod mount for portrait, and then a cold shoe so you can mount a video light or a microphone. And the nice thing about that is that if you just want to go slim and you're not going to be doing any tripod work, you can just remove that mount and have a very slim case that you don't notice any extra bulk in your pocket.
Yeah, so a very nice addition to the Oloclip line. On the case, do you know when that's going to be available and what pricing might be?
Yeah, the case is going to be available around the end of March, and we haven't set the pricing yet.
All right, so pricing to come. So on that note, if people want to find out what's going on, if they want to see some images, maybe they didn't make it out to Macworld this year, of course they could come by the booth, but if they didn't make it and want to see all the stuff, where should they go to check that out?
Well, we don't have images of the case on the website yet, but there's images of Oloclip, and what they should do is go to oloclip.com and sign up to be notified when there's more information. So whenever we have a new product shipping and it's ready for pre-order, we'll send them an email and let them know.
Have it ready and available. Great. Well, thanks again, Patrick, for telling us about the products.
Well, thank you very much.
So I've walked over and I'm with Michael at Chef Sleeve, and I was just walking by and this is an application that I never really thought about. Actually, I saw the product, I think, in Target a couple months ago, and I guess you have a couple products. So let's talk about the first one, though, that I saw in Target, which are these sleeves for your iPad, and I guess you now also have them for the iPhone and the iPad mini, and it's for working with your iPad in the kitchen, right?
Correct. So the iPad Chef Sleeve, that was our original product, and it was just created with the tablet cook in mind. So people that want to cook in the kitchen with their iPad, but kind of afraid to get the screen and the ports messy. So yeah, we started about 2 years ago with the iPad sleeves, and then we came out with the iPhone version. Soon we'll have the iPhone 5 sleeves ready to go, and coming soon as well will be the iPad mini sleeves. So with all the good content and apps that's out there and available for cooks, chefs, home cooks, people that just want to mess around in the kitchen, the Chef Sleeve just seemed like a natural thing to come to the market.
Yeah, so these are packs of disposable sleeves. They have like an adhesive on the back, so you slide your iPad in and you can use it through the screen. And you don't have to worry about getting flour. You have a demo over here where you're letting us throw flour on your iPad, which would just make me cringe normally, but it's going to protect against that kind of thing.
Exactly. So it's a pretty simple process. You slide the device in through the side of the sleeves, a simple resealable tape on the back end, so you peel off the adhesive strip, close it shut, nice and snug, and yeah, you're good to go. I mean, provided you don't go, you know, off the high dive with your iPad or iPhone, yeah, we guarantee it against any kind of a splatter or a spill. And you can reuse them too. That's the great part. I mean, they're recyclable sleeves, but, you know, if you want to wipe it clean or take it off and then, you know, maybe use the device a little bit later with the same sleeve, they're good to go.
All right. And what's the pricing on the sleeves?
So the sleeves currently sell in Target in 10 packs for $9.99 for a 10-pack of either iPhone or iPad sleeves. Otherwise, you can get them on chefsleeve.com, 25 sleeves for $19.99.
Great. And so then, in addition to the sleeves, you got a couple really neat kitchen stands, and it's kind of a neat material. So can you tell us about the stands a little bit and about the material that's used?
Yep, so these are relatively new. They came out this October. So first we have the dishwasher safe iPad stand, and it works with the iPad 2 and above, and actually it works with the iPad mini. And it's a paper composite material, very eco-friendly. And yeah, it's dishwasher safe. So it's sealed with a resin that makes the properties safe to throw in the dishwasher. I mean, you can of course sink wash it, but it's got a slim, sleek design with two viewing angles, heat resistant to 350 degrees. And it's obviously designed with the kitchen in mind, but travel with it, take it to work, to school, wherever you may need it.
Yeah, and it's got a really nice design. Like you said, a very kitchen friendly design. And then the thing that kind of caught my eye as I was walking by is you have this really cool cutting board. It looks like the same material that also has a stand built into it. So you could prop that up and maybe have your recipes right in front of you as you're prepping the ingredients.
Correct. And we've gotten a lot of people have been excited about this here at Macworld. They really never thought they'd see the day where they could attach their iPad to a cutting board. But yeah, it's the same dishwasher safe, eco-friendly paper composite material, very sleek design. Actually, our manufacturer, Epicurean, very well known in the cooking space. It's their signature design, and has the same properties, has some rubberized feet all along the corners, so it really anchors it to the bottom there of the cutting surface. And then you've got the juice groove for when you're cutting that huge porterhouse, and you know, you don't want it to draw and spill all over the cutting surface.
Or your iPad, but you got the sleeve, so you're protected. And so pricing on the stands?
So the stand is $34.99 at Target or at chefsleeve.com. And then the cutting board is exclusive through chefsleeve.com, and that is $69.99. Or all of our products, if you're coming to Macworld, are 10% off while you're here.
Well, great. Very, very cool products for the kitchen and a unique thing here at Macworld. So thanks, Michael.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Hey, Mac Geeks, it's Adam. I'm going to jump in here real quick and interrupt our Macworld coverage. Just want to take another quick second and thank another one of our show's sponsors, and that's Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook. You know, Notebook is a great application for taking notes, for getting organized, for doing your research. I think it's really unique because it's got this great look to it that mimics your physical notebook. So if you've never taken a look at it, you owe it to yourself to head over to the website to check it out and also to download their free 30-day trial. And I think you're going to really enjoy using the program because you can get in there, you can set different paper types, you can set different notebook styles, you have tabs, And then you can start taking your notes and doing your research. And then they layer on all these great features like the clipping service that I've told you about. This is gives you the ability to define areas in your notebooks that you can go when you're in other applications through the services menu in OS X and clip in information. So you can select something on a web page in Safari and you can use the clipping service to copy that right into your notebook without having to leave Safari. It all happens in the background. And then when you come back, you can organize that. You can add to those notes. You have links back to the original source material. So if it came from an email, it'll link you back to the email. It'll also pull in additional metadata information. So who sent you that email, when that email was sent. And it really helps you get work done and organize your stuff. And then other layers that go in there is you can start putting in things like sticky notes and flags. You can draw on top of that. You can annotate. And all of that stuff gets rolled up and indexed so it becomes searchable. They have this really great thing called the multi-dex that happens automatically at the back of your notebook. You're going to have your information organized in a bunch of different ways. So if you have URLs in there, it'll group URLs together. It'll show you capitalized words. It slices and dices it just about any way you can possibly think of. And it's really something that you really should probably just go check out. Tons of awesome features in there. And like I said, you can try it out free for 30 days. Just go to circusponies.com, check it out. And you, of course, can also buy your copy there after you take a look at it. And I know you're going to be blown away. So check it all out. Big thank you to Circus Ponies for their support of the MacCast. And with that, let's get back to our Macworld coverage.
All right, so I'm here on the floor of Macworld again, and I'm over at the Focusrite booth. And I was actually really excited to see this product here because I think I saw a video a couple months ago online that you guys posted. This is a relatively new product, right? And it's called the iTrack Solo. I'm here with Raul. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes, the iTrack Solo is Focusrite's one of Focusrite's newest product. It's been around for about 3 months, and we're excited because it's bringing the Focusrite quality of mic preamp to a very cost-effective price that anyone can use on their iPhone, iPad, Mac, or PC computers.
And I was very excited about it. So what it is it's a mic preamp interface to go into your iOS devices or your Mac. And when you want to do portable recording, that's something that's key. And a challenge that I always had when they brought GarageBand to the iPad, I was excited to use it as my mobile gear for podcasting. But plugging in USB mics, standard USB mics, there was never enough gain or power. You really couldn't control the sound. And you're going to be able to do that with this, right?
Absolutely, yes. You have one Focusrite mic preamp input, and you have one instrument in. This is for the musician, the guy who wants to capture the music right now. And if your computer's not in front of you and your iPad is, connect the cable. If your iPad's not in front of you but your iPhone is, connect the cable. It's about capturing your music with the best possible quality.
Right, and another great thing about this is it is portable, so you have a bunch of different options for power. It's USB powered, right?
Yes, it's when you connect it to your Mac or PC, it is USB bus powered. When you're recording with your iPhone or iPad, we provide you a USB to wall power, yes.
Yeah, so you can plug it into the wall, wherever you are, and get power, get good sound out of your equipment, and you're going to be able to control that and do your recording. Another thing I like is it's really pretty small and portable.
Yes, we love that. The new design is a unibody aluminum casing, which looks great. Kind of, since we're here at Macworld, you know, it makes it look very Mac-ish. And people like the design. We like it. If you notice the new halo LEDs, it's not vertical LEDs. They're, you know, like a halo ring. So there's red, orange, and green. So we love the design. It's portable. It's built like a tank.
Yeah, yeah. The gain knob there has a little light around it, so you can tell green, you know you're not clipping, orange, you're getting in there, so you can set your levels very easily.
Right, exactly. And here at our setup today, you know, we have a condenser microphone. That means you need to add phantom power. Right on our unit, you can actually add 48 volts of phantom power. And it's very simple. Turn it up, check your headphones, and you're ready to record.
Right, and you have a direct monitor as well, you know, and so you can monitor all your levels and check everything out. The other thing is I'm going to ask you, I asked you and I know people are wondering, so it has a 30-pin cable that goes in, but what about new devices that are using Lightning?
A good question. Because Apple makes the Lightning cable, all you need is the adapter, and it works just fine. So if you buy the 30-pin to Lightning adapter, No problem.
Yeah, so you got no problems at all. So really great product. And then the other thing that blew me away on this, knowing about Focusrite and the history with the preamps and the quality of the preamps, is the price. So you can you tell people price on this and then where they can get it?
Yes, price is $159.99 US, and that's not retail. That's the everyday great selling price. So it's a great price, and I think it's reachable for anyone that wants to record music and or the guys who currently own an interface but want one to be mobile. So it's a great addition to that as well.
Yeah, great, great product. And if people want to find more information and details, you guys have a website maybe they can go check out and get more information?
Yeah, so they can go to focusrite.com. That's FOCUSRITE.com to find out any information. And the iTrack Solo is available wherever you like to shop, whether that's any online stores or any walk-in music stores.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate you talking to us about the product.
Thanks for having us.
I moved over and I'm at the AirTurn booth. I just ran into Hugh here. He was running me through the AirTurn products. And I guess you were telling me you've been around for a little while doing page turn kind of stuff with pedals.
I started out as a classical pianist. And about 12 years ago, I started going all paperless and using tablet PCs to read all my music digitally. The problem was I could only see one page at a time. So I was looking for a solution to turn pages, not with my hand, which, you know, both hands are on the keyboard playing. I wanted to see if I could do it with my foot instead. So that led me to really start to explore different foot switch possibilities. And then 5 years ago, we started AirTurn with my partner, Lester Karplus. And he and I came up with a really great way to do it wirelessly, silently. And so that's where we're at right now. We started out primarily as a hands-free page-turning solution for musicians. But AirTurn has now grown, thanks to the popularity of the iPad. We have now grown to develop a Bluetooth version of the AirTurn. And now we've gone beyond not just turning the pages, but thanks to the help of all our collaborative developer partners, we're now doing a whole lot more. For instance, now we can do things like guitar effects with JamUp, developed by Positive Grid, or we can even toggle audio and do other kinds of neat things with other apps like OnSong as well.
Right, so you're starting to really break out and expand, and that's because you have an API that's now been made for developers. So the basis was music page turning, foot pedals, and you said they're Bluetooth technology now?
Exactly. So for the iPad specifically, since they didn't have USB ports, we came up with a Bluetooth version of the AirTurn. So it's called the BT-105 for Bluetooth. And we were actually, it's interesting, because we were the first company to come up with a Bluetooth controller of this type right after the iPad was announced. I mean, we actually have a demo video up in Wired magazine somewhere, so it's really kind of cool. So we were the first ones to come up, and then we developed a developer's kit that is available from us, and so that's what we give to developers to apply both the AirTurn 2 or 4 pedal versions into whatever applications they want to do.
Right, very cool. And you were showing me it was great because you could bring up the effects application and then have that run in the background and then have your page turning application. So the pedals are really programmable and versatile and through the API and the apps that you've integrated with.
And that's what's really cool too, is that more and more developers are taking the AirTurn pedals and making them more graphically user-friendly, developing these pictures of the pedals, and you can just touch the pedal and then select different functions to assign to them. So it makes it really easy to program, customize, do what you like. So for example, what I can do with this effect, I can have this sound over here, and I can have one of the pedals come on and turn on this modulator here. It's pretty cool. Or turn off the stomp switch if I like. Or move between entire presets. Completely change my sound all at once. Really easy to do. And again, hands-free wirelessly. That's what makes it cool. And again, that's to demonstrate it. That's the app JamUp. And just while I'm having that sound, I can be playing this, the sound's still going on in the background, I can switch over to another app. This is called OnSong, and I can have the first pedal assigned to do a backing track. And it set another pedal, set an auto-scroll.
So now you have the words going through, the music playing in the background, so you're layering up everything you need to do to practice.
Exactly. And so that's what's the core.
Or play a gig, I would imagine.
Exactly. So one of the coolest things is that the AirTurn is not just a one app product. It works across a whole family of apps. If you wanted to, you can even use a looping program like Loopy HD and run your guitar sounds through that and start playing looping effects and control that all from the AirTurn. It's really, really quite cool. So.
Well, very, very cool. And you have a couple different product lines. So can you give people some information on pricing, availability, different models?
Sure. So our most popular model is the two-pedal version of the AirTrim BT-105. It comes with two silent ATFS2 pedals. And these are the quietest pedals on the market. So they're great for acoustic musicians, classical musicians. And that normally retails now for $119.95. So just under $200. Just under $120. And then we have a new four-pedal version that's great if you want to have more control. A lot of people ask, well, what are you going to do with four pedals? Well, for instance, even within a song, if you're playing a set list, you might want to go forwards and backwards with two pedals. Or if you want to skip around in your set list and jump to different selections, you can use the other pedals to move next song and the other pedal for previous song. So that's a simple navigation. But again, with other apps that are more sophisticated, you can toggle audio, transpose keys up and down. You can really just be very creative in how you want to assign control to your pedal, depending on the app. The four-pedal version of the AirTrim BT-105 with the ATFS2 pedals normally retails for $159. But what's also cool is that the AirTrim is a modular system. What that means is the brains of the unit actually comes as its own kind of housed box. So I can get just the AirTrim BT-105 transceiver by itself. I think right now it's running for $69. And if I already have a momentary switch or a pedal that's compatible, like the Boss FS5U or the Boss FS6 dual pedals, I can just get some compatible cables for a couple bucks, plug them in, and I just spend $69, and I have a page-turning solution ready to go.
Great. Very versatile system. And so if people want to buy them, where is availability? Where can they get them?
Come to AirTurn, spelled AirTurn.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Hugh.
Hey, thank you so much.
So I'm here with Usman from CameraMator, and he has a really unique product for, looks like transferring your images from your digital camera, your digital SLR, to your iPad. The product's called CameraMator as well. And Usman, can you tell people a little bit about the product and what it does?
Okay, so CameraMator is a device that lets you connect an iPad, an iPhone, or a Mac laptop to a digital camera, and then you can remotely control the camera, change the settings on the camera, trigger the images, and then also transfer the images to your iPad or iPhone or laptop. The incoming images can be shared on the social networks or into the photo stream or any image processing app like Lightroom or Photoshop.
So this is a hardware product. It attaches to the camera, also potential to, I noticed it had a tripod mount as well. It connects via USB into the USB connection you'd normally use on your camera for a wired connection, but then enables it wirelessly. So how does that work?
So the device creates its own hotspot, and you can connect to that hotspot from the iPad or the iPhone, and then you have full control of the camera. It has its own battery that lasts about 8 hours, so it doesn't drain the camera battery. And you could be out in the middle of the desert, and this system will still work because it doesn't need any existing Wi-Fi connection.
Right, and so then you have an app for Mac, you have an app for the iPad, iPhone, and you can really control all the settings on the camera. So what kinds of things can you control?
You can view the live image from the viewfinder. You can change focus, you can change aperture, shutter, ISO, white balance. And then for more specific camera-specific functions, we are rolling out new versions of the app that will have detailed function control.
And so then what kinds of cameras does it work with?
It works with any Nikon or Canon DSLR built in last 4 or 5 years. Pretty much, you know, the cameras that have USB connector on them.
So as long as it has a USB, it's going to work with it?
That's right, Canons and Nikons.
Canons and Nikons and digital SLRs. What is pricing and availability on the product?
Okay, so we announced the product at CES. It's It's retail price is $299, and it's available online right now.
Online from where?
From hypershop.com.
Okay, so we're here at the Hyper booth, and Hypershop is selling the product, so you can get it there. Cool new product. Thank you so much, Usman, for showing it to us.
Thank you very much.
I just moved upstairs here, and I sat down with Mark, and he is the VP of Global Marketing for Lantronics, and they have a really unique solution for your printing with your iOS devices. And so I'll let you tell the folks a little bit about the product.
Sure, thanks. Our product is called the X-Print Server, and that's a family of products. Right now we have two editions of it. One is a home edition for consumers, and one is the office edition for enterprises. Both work the same way. Basically, what you do is you open up the box, you plug it in. If you're at home, you plug it into your router or your modem, or if the office, you plug it anywhere into your with an Ethernet, anywhere there's an Ethernet jack, and that's it. The product goes out, it finds all of your printers, it finds all of your iOS devices, so it auto-discovers them all and automatically configures them. So there's no software to download, no apps to use, no need to buy new printers. So that's how it works. It really works seamlessly out of the box. The Office one retails for $199. That supports an unlimited number of printers and users. We have a home edition for $99, and that supports up to 8 printers and also unlimited number of users.
So in essence, this is like, I have a printer at home. I spent a lot of money on. I have a lot invested in ink and stuff like that, but it's not one of these fancy, you know, I can print to my iPad one, and I'm not really interested in buying a new one. So this product solves that sort of problem for me, right? I can buy your product, plug in my printer, and now I'm able to print directly from my iOS devices.
Exactly, and that's what we found is one is, I mean, I know my house, my wife would kill me if I brought back one more printer to the house. I already have 3. And offices, same thing. They're expensive for enterprise printers, and think of these big multifunction devices that, you know, copiers, printers that cost $10,000, $20,000. Companies don't want to reinvest in that, so we're trying to preserve people's investment in those old printers. Not to mention, I my opinion is a lot of the new ones, I feel like they use up the ink much faster. And on top of that, it's easy. People, you know, setting up printers is annoying. We did a lot of research, and people said it's on average takes them 30 minutes to set up their printer. Never mind if you actually get it working. And right now, there's a handful of what are called AirPrint-enabled printers, mostly on the consumer side, but still a little kludgy to work with. So, printing has been, Apple has created this kind of gap or white space in the market where everybody has these devices and people are just learning that it's almost impossible to print. So that's where we come in. And we've been around for 20 years, publicly traded company. We started in print servers 20 years ago and came full circle and now created this product just last year.
Right. And another nice thing about the product, I think, is that, you know, there's some software solutions out there that you might be able to print through another PC or a Mac or something like that. But in your case, this is a piece of hardware. I hook it on my network. I don't have to leave my machine on all the time, right?
Exactly. And that's one of the many issues. I mean, like I said, it depends on your use case. There are some decent apps out there. But like you said, you have to leave a machine on. And people think, oh, what's the big deal? Well, if you're one, it is a big deal. It costs a lot of money over a year to do that. And if you're an enterprise, you may have dozens of these. Not only the power consumption, but the fact you have to maintain these. And so that's difficult. And the nice part is our product keeps you within the native print menu on the device. So that is, you don't have to close the application you're in, go open a print app, then go back and do it. It operates just the way you would on your laptop or your desktop. You just click print and move on with your day.
Right, it's just going to see the printer. And I think you made a good point, is that any software that you have on your iOS device that has a print function is going to be able to print to your printers connected to this device.
Exactly. And anything you can look at, read, print, print from other devices, anything that's on your device, you can print using the XPrint server.
Very, very cool. And I think you already gave the price points, but just remind everybody again how much the products cost, the name, and then where they can find more information on it.
Sure. It's XPrint Server, and you can go to xprintserver.com for more information. But the home edition, the consumer one, is $99. The office one is $199. And at the show here, we're offering 10% off if you buy one. Buy them if you buy more than 5, 20% off. So we're doing a sort of a sliding scale. But we're available not just on our site, but on Amazon, Best Buy Online, 30 or 40 of those e-tailers. We're also available in Micro Center and Fry's and some other retail stores. So pretty much anywhere. Just go online, search for it, and you'll find somewhere to buy it.
All right. Very cool product. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
I've moved over to the Fujitsu booth, and I'm talking with Michael. And Michael, it seems like every year I come by here, you guys have a great new scanner. We've talked in years past. I'm sure we talked last year about what you brought out, but you have something really exciting this year. You have the ScanSnap iX500. Can you tell everybody a little bit about the update to this scanner, to your scanner line with this product?
Sure, you bet. This is really exciting. New product for us. Now, we've been making these scanners for about 9 years, but we've been in the business for 30 years making document scanners. But this consumer product is a new refresh that has a whole new level of functionality to it. So we've increased the speed. The now iX500 has 25 pages per minute. It's still double-sided, so it scans both sides at the same time, but it has a new separation technology built into it to handle that faster speed, because the biggest problem with faster speed is that you can become more unreliable. This new separation technology is going to make sure just one sheet goes through at a time.
And you said this is a technology that you actually brought down from your higher-end kind of commercial products, right?
Exactly. We make professional scanners for large businesses, pharmacies and healthcare and government. So this technology is really advanced.
That's it's coming back down. And so it's got a whole new design. You want to talk a little bit about that? It's black and gorgeous, I guess is the way I could put it. But we'll probably have to send people to the website to actually see pictures.
Exactly. Yeah, it looks fantastic. We were calling it Piano Black. It's got that nice, beautiful iPhone-like finish to it. But the cool new feature that we've added to this, so you can support scan to your Mac or you can scan to your PC. It is a hybrid product. But we've now added PC-less scanning to it, which basically means that you can scan to your mobile devices, your iOS devices, your iPhones or your iPads, and you can do it wirelessly. There's actually a processor, a dual-core processor, built onto the motherboard of the scanner itself. So I don't even have to be connected to my Mac. I can scan right to my iPhone or my iPad from this GI processor.
And you were showing me that. It's really just a simple switch. I can switch from USB connection to Wi-Fi going directly to my iPad. I'm assuming there's some software that for the iPad as well?
That's correct. So you'll download this something called ScanSnap Connect. It's a free app. And basically, just when you launch that application, it's automatically going to turn off scanning to your Mac, and it's going to allow it to scan directly to your mobile device through a wireless connection.
And it goes direct, right? You're not going through your computer or anything else.
That's correct. You don't even have to pull out your laptop to do it. And so we look at this as a matter of convenience. So the person's going to normally be managing their content on a Mac. They're going to go and scan to their Mac. They're going to be managing their content there. This is for the person that's rushing out of the house real quickly. They don't want to have to pull out that laptop to scan something that they need to scan that day. Maybe it's just an insurance form they need to deal with that moment. They just lift a lid on the scanner, launch the ScanSnap Connect on their iPhone, put the document in, push the button. In 15 seconds, they've scanned it, and they're walking out the door. So this just adds a whole new level of convenience to the process.
I was surprised how incredibly fast it is, too.
That's correct. That GI processor built on that motherboard is really the genius behind that, because all that intelligent image correction that we talked about, the blank page removal and the cropping and the deskew, all that had to be built onto that chip itself because the Mac is not even being involved here. So it has to be done somewhere. It's actually done inside the scanner.
Very, very cool. Anything else you want to tell us about it?
Well, we've refined some of the other functionality. So we have the quick menu, which people become very familiar with. It's a way of basically selecting how you're going to scan your content, maybe to a folder one moment or to an email the next. We've made that functionality now customizable. People can select favorites with it in, so they can refine that. You can also add third-party applications to your ScanSnap Manager, which will now appear in that quick menu. So if you want to scan to other applications, like, for example, Mariner's Paperless, you can add that application to your quick menu and then select it when you're scanning. So it just makes the whole process much more easy.
And then you said, I think that you also said there was a small update to the OCR software?
Correct. We've actually added something called post-scan searchable PDF creation. It's a big fancy bunch of words there. Basically, it means that you can do it two ways. You can either select to make all your content searchable at the point of scanning. That's a setting within the ScanSnap Manager. Or you can scan a bunch of PDFs, and then later, you can drag your PDF content into this bubble called searchable PDF creation, and it'll do it when your system's idle. So it's a really quick way to really do it either way, either at the time of scanning or later.
And then also, I think contact management was another one.
That's right. We've actually advanced. We've made our own CardMinder software application for business cards. You can scan it into using your Mac now to CardMinder. It'll extract off the information, put it into editable fields, which then you can push off to Address Book. There's also an integration right into Salesforce for those Mac users that are actually using Salesforce, very popular. Now you can actually create leads or contacts from those business cards without even going into Salesforce. It actually creates them. So we're adding more functionality every time we come up with a new generation.
It's really, really great. I love my scan snaps, and now I'm lusting after a new one. Can you tell us a little bit about pricing, availability?
Right. So with all this new technology, we made a faster scanner with a much more advanced feeding system, PC-less scanning and all that, but we haven't increased the price. It's still $495 list, just like the predecessor. It's available through Amazon, Mac Mall, PC Connection, Newegg, all the major e-tailers.
So we can run out and get it now.
You know it. It's available today.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot.
So I just moved over in the Fujitsu booth. Something, once you got your SnapScan scanner, you're going to want to be able to organize your documents. And Mariner Software, they've been around in the Mac community for a long time. They have a great product for doing that. And so I'm here with Corey. Corey, can you tell people a little bit about Paperless?
Sure. Paperless is basically a document management program. Helps you organize all your documents from Word files to PDFs. Throw receipts in there. It does receipt scanning, so it has some logic to figure out the merchant and fill in the amount and the tax. And then it has a neat feature that you can put all of it together for a report, take that to accounting, get reimbursed. It also works with Quicken and some other financial software, exports to CSV, to go into Excel. You can quickly organize all your documents in one place, select them, hit email. It'll make a new email and send off, you know, those documents.
Right. One of the best bits of analogy I think you gave me when I walked over that people can really kind of wrap their head around is this is like iTunes, but for your documents, right? It has a similar even layout of the how the software is laid out.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Just like iTunes has playlists and smart playlists, Paperless has collections and smart collections. It's, with a smart collection, you could set criteria like, you know, was in the last month and the category is dining. So you can get, all your receipts from last month that were, you know, eating out expenses.
Right, and then things like the reporting system can take that. You can take that smart collection or your collection, run a report on it, and maybe that's the thing you submit for your expense report.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the intended use.
And then while we're here in the SnapScan booth, because you guys integrate really well with their scanners, it's not just that. You can put in your own documents from other sources and also different kinds of documents.
Yeah. Not only does it work with the Fujitsu ScanSnap, it also works with other scanners as well. But it's really a full document management solution, not just receipts and not just PDFs.
Yeah, not just scan documents. So I can put Word docs in here. You showed me a zip file. Or so you can really use it as a whole document management, really however you want. You can really customize it.
Yeah, it does web archives and emails and yeah, really the limit.
Yeah, and so then you were also showing me, so it's going to OCR, it's going to try and pick up things like amounts and things and fill those in for you. There's a lot of metadata you can put in here, but you can also put in different types of metadata because having different types of documents, I would assume, you're going to have different fields and things like that. So you have a whole, you're showing a really cool thing where you could either go with, you have some default categories, but you can also create your own.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fully customizable. You can add custom document types. You can also add custom fields. And you can even set the autofill values for those fields. So if you have a particular case where you're always scanning invoices and you want invoice as a document type, you can make that. And if there's something on those invoices like loading dock number, you can make that little piece of metadata and always fill that in when you're scanning your documents.
Yeah, so that's really great. So you can really tailor it to your use case, get the information in there that you need, and then I'm assuming it's all searchable and indexed, and you can easily recall documents then.
Yeah, you can recall it right from within Paperless or right in Spotlight, in the Finder.
Awesome, awesome. And so the software is called Paperless, so you can go out and buy it now. If people want to get more information, check out the software and just get maybe a little look at it, where should they go?
Yeah, head on over to marinersoftware.com and you can download a demo. It works for 15 days for free. Also offering a show special of, it's normally $49.95, $29.95 show special with the promo code of MWPAP, Macworld Paperless, MWPAP. And there's also a money-back guarantee, so it's no risk.
Totally no risk. So you should just go out and get it, check it out. Great software from Mariner. They've been doing great software for years. So thanks, Corey.
Thanks, Adam.
So I'm over at the Riedel booth now with Dennis. And actually, you have a product I just downloaded right before Macworld because I had a need for it. You guys have done a number of products over the years, but I want to talk to you about your latest one. And it's called Documents. It's a document manager for iOS, right?
Yeah, that's right. So the latest product we have called Documents, and right now it's just for iPad. So it's like file management app. So you can get all your files, any file type, like text, documents, videos, pictures, files of any type, basically Excel, gets from all over the place, from your Mac, PC, from your online file storages, and stored directly on your iPad. So your files are always with you.
So it's essentially the Finder on the iPad that Apple didn't give us, in my opinion, because you can go in there, you can get your files from your Mac, you can put them into the application, and you also work with a number of different connected sources as well, right?
Yes, exactly. Like, that was the main logic behind this app. So like, we got thousands of email and requests saying like, hey guys, can you make something like file management that Apple doesn't have to have? And like, yeah, why not? It makes perfect sense. So people use their devices to store their own documents and their own files, and they want these files to be available at any given time. So seems like a great idea, and we've got good traction so far. We've just launched 2 weeks ago, featured by Apple. As I said, right now it's just iPad version. The iPhone is going to come soon. I hope early March it's going to be available in the App Store. And it's free. Nothing can beat a free price. And of course, we actually invest a lot of into user experience and user interface. And the design is just gorgeous. And we got loads of great feedback from that. So you should check it out.
So what I really liked about the product, and one of the reasons I wanted it, is so many apps will integrate with something like Dropbox or some connected source where you can browse, but this gives you the ability to go out to different locations and aggregate, and actually it has local storage. So you have a documents folder where all of your documents go within the documents application, and those are all the locally stored things. Then you can also connect to things like your iCloud storage, and you can move documents over, you can copy documents, you can do things like you can even archive documents, create zip files, right?
That's right. Yeah, you also can go drop documents into your iCloud. So you have this iCloud storage, and once you have documents, let's say iCloud folder on your iPhone, these documents will be available on the iPad, and it makes perfect sense to have your documents across all your iOS devices. That's the main logic behind Apple logic.
Yeah, we can gather everything together. And then for all of the different connected services, the cloud services, you do integrate with that as well. So I use Dropbox, and Dropbox is in there, but I think you guys have about every service that's in there, right? Google Drive, SugarSync.
SugarSync, ShareFile. I think we have 15 of those. Like, we support all the major ones and even smaller ones. So we've been pretty good on integrations, and we are supported by big guys like Box, Dropbox. They know about us, and we have great relations with them, and they are great guys.
Yeah, and it looks great. It makes it really easy to navigate. And then also, once you have your files in there, you can then organize them. You've got a couple different views. You have icon views. You have folders. You can drag and drop items into folders to collect them together. You can sort by date, by size. You also have list view in there, as well as searching. Yeah, and searching not only just by file name, but also you index, right?
That's right, yes. You can search your content, your words. So we have a search index you do once, and then it will be automatically. So we can search through all your files you have. And yeah.
So it's called Documents from Readle. It is free and available now. So like you said, you can't beat that price.
Yep, you can't beat that price.
Thank you so much for walking us through the product.
Thank you.
So, I was just over at the Readle booth talking to the documents folks, and walking by was Roland from Bear Extender. You guys may remember Bear Extender from a while back. A great product for getting better wireless connectivity on your older Macs, upgrading to support 5 gigahertz standards. They have a great product that helps extend your range. We covered it a few years back, and they're here at the show. I guess you have a new update to that product now, right?
That's right. We have a new version. It's smaller. It's called the Bear Extender Mini, and it's also higher power. So in the 3 years since introducing the original Bear Extender, we've made it smaller and higher power. Now Bear Extender Mini has a full 1 watt of power. That's 5 times the power of your internal airport card.
So it's going to give you much wider range. Do you know typically what you guys are seeing in terms of performance?
Sure. So you'll see a 2 to 4 times improvement, because that 1 watt amplifier really makes a big difference. So in ideal conditions, you can get up to 800 to 1,000 feet.
Right, so the application, I was very excited about the product that I have now, because I was able to sort of upgrade my older Mac Mini and get a longer range. I was off in a corner, and this is going to do the same thing for me, but just in a much smaller package.
In a smaller package and with even more power, so you can actually get a little more range out of that. And as you mentioned before, because it has both a transmitter and receiver, you don't need an internal airport card. So if you've got an older Mac sitting at home, like a PowerPC G4, you can use Bear Extender to bring 802.11n to your Mac.
Right, or if maybe your old airport card just broke on you.
Exactly. It's not usually typically not worth it to purchase or track down another airport card. And even if you do, it's going to be 802.11b or 802.11g. You might as well go all the way to 802.11n and get that longer range.
Right. So this is 802.11n then?
That's right.
Okay, and then is it available now, and what's the pricing?
It's shipping since September, and it's available for $49.97 from BarrickCenter.com.
Very cool. Thanks, Roland. I'm so glad you tracked me down.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, I'm over at the Goal Zero booth with Elisa, and charging our iOS devices has become a big deal for us. We're all carrying our electronics around, so there's a lot of innovative charging products over here, and it looks like Goal Zero, you have some solar as well as battery products that you can tell us about, right?
We do. So basically, you can take a battery pack that you can either recharge from solar, or you can recharge the external battery pack from the wall. So you have both options. Once the battery pack is fully charged, depending on how much power you're going to need, so our smallest one, we call it the Switch 8 kit, you're going to be able to recharge your cell phone one full time or about a 25% charge on your iPad. You can also recharge the iPad, basically if you go through the solar panel into the battery pack at the same time you plug in your iPad, and you're going to be able to recharge your iPad or your cell phone essentially directly from the sun.
Right, so you have a couple here, just to describe them for people, a couple very portable battery packs. You have one that has internal batteries. You have one also that does rechargeable batteries.
Yeah, so this one's just basically your next step up if you need a little bit more power. So this external battery pack is going to allow you to do 1.5 charges on your cell phone or about a 25% charge on your battery pack. This external battery pack will also allow you to recharge AA and AAA batteries inside of the battery pack. And same idea, you can either recharge this from the wall or you can recharge it from solar. This one's going to charge a little bit faster from solar because basically you're just going with a little bit larger solar panel. So it's going to take about 2 to 4 hours. And this solar panel and battery pack weigh less than a pound, and it's about the size of a book.
Yeah, so they're very small and portable. It looks like a big focus would be, I would imagine, outdoor camping, that sort of application. Is that mainly what your customers are using them for?
Yeah, definitely. So we market to the outdoor market, so anyone who's going to be backpacking, camping, but also anyone who's preparing for an emergency. So you can take this battery pack and the solar panel, you can charge up your cell phone in case of an emergency. And we also go all the way up to generator size. So we have a full-size generator that's going to allow you to run your refrigerator, basically any of your home devices. And then you just need a little bit more solar for that one.
Right, and they also had some really cool accessories for the battery packs. I noticed, like, the smaller one, you have a light adapter, so you can use it as a flashlight as well.
Yeah, so because we have a USB output, basically you can plug in any USB light. So you're just going to plug it right into the USB output, and you can either have 25 lumens or up to about 75 lumens straight from the battery.
Right, and I want to explain kind of how the solar panels work. So we were talking about it. You have three different sizes of solar panels that are going to generate different amounts of energy going into the battery packs. Can you talk about the capacities and the sizes and stuff like that?
Yeah, so basically we talk in watt hours. So our smallest unit is an 8-watt-hour battery pack, and you're recharging it from a 3.5-watt solar panel. That's going to take about 4 to 6 hours to charge from the sun. And then that larger one that I talked about that had the AA and AAA battery rechargers, that's a 10-watt-hour battery pack, and we recharge that from a 7-watt solar panel. So say you're on the equator, you're actually going to be able to recharge in about an hour and 15 minutes, but most of us don't live on the equator, and so you're actually going to need to recharge in about 2 to 4 hours. That's more realistic, and all of our batteries will allow you to take a trickle charge from the sun, and some of your smart devices won't allow you to do that. So that's what the battery pack's so great for, because you're going to be able to get a consistent charge coming out of the battery pack.
Right, yeah. You were explaining that using the solar panels, you can direct plug in, but if you go through the battery pack, you're going to get that consistent power, so you're not getting that error message that so many of us see, this device isn't outputting enough power. It's going to sort of give you a constant flow of energy.
Yeah, definitely. I think a great example is, taking your battery pack and plugging into the solar panel and then keeping your phone in your hand as you're walking around Disneyland or you're walking around, a big city that you don't know very well. You want to be able to use your GPS, but you can't do that because it kills your battery. And so this is going to allow you to, have that constant, consistent charge coming from the sun.
Can you let us know? So let's do the two different battery packs. So you have two different battery packs. What are they called again, and what's the pricing on those?
Yeah, so the smaller one, it's called the Switch 8 kit because it's the 8-watt battery pack, and that's going to be $99. And then the one step up was called the Guide 10 Plus Adventure kit. That's going to be $120, and you can find all of it at goalzero.com.
All right, and then also just real quickly, the companion solar panels, you have three different sizes. Can you tell us the capacities and pricing on those?
Yeah, so like you said, you don't want to recharge your cell phone directly from some of our smaller solar panels. So in the Guide 10 Plus Adventure Kit, you do have a 7-watt solar panel called the Nomad 7. That's going to be about $80 on our website. And if you do want to recharge laptops, we jump up to one called the Nomad 13, and that you're going to be able to recharge your iPad directly from the sun or your cell phone, or you can recharge a battery pack that lets you recharge your laptop. It's called the Nomad 13. That's about $200.
Right, and you guys have a bunch of other products. We kind of focused on the batteries and the solar panels and things like that. If people want to get more information, I think you already mentioned the website, but mention it again.
Yeah, it's goalzero.com, G-O-A-L-Z-E-R-O.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So there you go. That's the coverage from Macworld iWorld 2013. Tons of really cool stuff out on the show floor there. Unfortunately, I couldn't bring you all of it. I'd be running around like a madman. And it's, you know, a lot of the show for me is also getting out and being able to meet people, to chat with people, to hear all these great stories that are there. And to be able to share some of those with you is a whole lot of fun for me. So hopefully this gave you a little taste, a little flavor between this episode and the last episode. And maybe if you've been considering coming out to Macworld and haven't made the leap yet, maybe we'll see you out there next year. And I've loved being able to meet many of you both this year at Macworld iWorld and also in years past. And I look forward to being able to continue to do that for a long time. So thank you for being a great part of this community and for making all of that happen. Before I leave you, I do need to take a quick moment and thank all of my show sponsors. Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook. You can check out their software, get a free trial over at circusponies.com. Smile, check out Text Expander, PDF Pen, Disc Label, also Text Expander Touch for iOS and PDF Pen for iPhone and iPad. You can get information on all their software as well as free trials over at smilesoftware.com. GoToMeeting by Citrix. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code MACCAST. Gazelle, the fast, simple way to sell your used iPhone, iPad, MacBooks, and other smartphones. Find out what your gadget is worth today at Gazelle.com. Squarespace, if you need to build a great-looking, maintainable website and you want to do it in minutes, not hours or days, you can do that with Squarespace. You can try it free simply by going to squarespace.com/maccast and signing up now. And when you're ready to make a purchase, you can get 10% off when you enter the offer code MACCAST2. That's M-A-C-C-A-S-T-2. And last but not least, ShareFile by Citrix. You know, you can take all of the hassle out of sharing and sending your business files using old methods like email attachments and FTP. Don't hassle with that. Just check out ShareFile and you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just go to sharefile.com, click the little radio microphone, and enter my offer code MACCAST, M-A-C-C-A-S-T. Do it today, sharefile.com. And a big thank you to all of my sponsors for their support of the MACCAST. Big thank you to you for your support. I hope you enjoyed these episodes. If you have any comments for me, a question, maybe something you'd like to hear on a future episode of the MACCAST, you can send me feedback. The email address is maccast@gmail.com. You can also leave voicemail on the listener hotline. That's at 281-622-4269, 281-MAC-I-AM-9. And if you'd prefer to use Skype, maybe save on long distance charges, you can also leave voicemail there. The Skype address is the MACCAST. If you need show notes, links to anything that I talked about on this episode, and I'll also have links to all of the products and companies that you heard on this episode over there, you can head over to maccast.com. Just find the show post and click on the links there. And also, while you're on the site, check out the forum, another great part of the MACCAST community. You can share ideas, comments, and questions with other MACCAST listeners on the forum, and you'll find that at forum.maccast.com. If you'd like to follow me online, you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/maccast, or check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/themaccast. You can also find me on Google Plus. Just search for Maccast. Pretty much Maccast everywhere. And we'll see you online. But that's going to do it for now. Until next time, I will talk to you all again real soon.